Hello, friends, and welcome to this week's episode of Grits in the Gospel. My name is Reverend Katie Griffiths. It is the 16th Sunday after Pentecost, and it is also Grandparents' Day. And we will be celebrating at Bethlehem with moon pies and RC colas and my personal favorite, full-fat Cokes and peanuts. I hope that wherever you are today, if you are a grandparent, that you are sufficiently filled with love and joy from your grandchildren. And I hope that if you still have a grandparent in your life, that you are able to honor them on this day. Let us come together today in a time and posture of worship. The Lord be with you and also with you. In Joshua 6, we hear the familiar story of the walls of Jericho being opened by God to free those inside. God uses this powerful way of opening walls to get to the heart of the people. Hear now the words of Joshua 6, verses 1 through 7, and then 18 through 20. Now Jericho was shut up inside and out because of the Israelites. No one came out and no one went in. The Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have handed Jericho over to you, along with its king and soldiers. You shall march around the city, all the warriors circling the city once. Thus you shall do for 6 days. With 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. On the 7th day, you shall march around the city 7 times, the priests blowing the trumpets. When they make a long blast with the ram's horn, as soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall flat. And all of the people shall charge straight ahead. So Joshua, son of Nun, summoned the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant and have 7 priests carry 7 trumpets of ram's horns in front of the Ark of the Lord. To the people, he said, go forward and march around the city. Have the armed men pass on before the Ark of the Lord. And now verse 18, as for you, keep away from the things devoted to destruction so as not to covet and take any of the devoted things and make the camp of Israel an object for destruction, bringing trouble upon it. But all silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord. They shall go into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted, and the trumpets were blown. As soon as the people heard the sounds of the trumpets, they raised a great shout, and the wall fell flat. So the people charged straight ahead into the city and captured it. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Friends, let us join now today in the coming together to recite the Apostles' Creed. Excuse me. Friends, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The 3rd day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray together. Dear Lord, as we come together today and hear the word, Ephphath. Let us remember to be opened. Let us remember that you are the one that opens us so that we may hear, that we may speak your word to those around us. Let us be vessels for all of our neighbors and friends, that we will be able to speak your words of love and hear the cries of our neighbors. Hear us now as we pray the words that your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Before we read our gospel lesson today, I want to read to you a poem by Oriah Mountain Dreaming. It's called The Invitation. It is a plea to a person to be open and authentic in their relationship. And the reading today, it is my hope that you will see it as a way of putting words around God's hope for us to be open to Him in all we do. It doesn't interest me what you do for a living. I want to know what you ache for, and if you dare to dream of meeting your heart's longing. It doesn't interest me how old you are. I want to know if you will risk looking like a fool for love, for your dream, for the adventure of being alive. It doesn't interest me what planets are squaring your moon. I want to know if you have touched the center of your own sorrow, if you have been opened by life's betrayals, or have you become shriveled and closed from fear of further pain. I want to know if you can sit with the pain, with pain, mine or your own, without moving to hide it, or fade it, or fix it. I want to know if you can be with joy, mine or your own, if you can dance with wildness and let the ecstasy fill you to the tips of your fingers and toes without cautioning us to be careful, to be realistic, to remember the limitations of being human. It doesn't interest me if the story you are telling me is true. I want to know if you can disappoint another to be true to yourself. If you can bear the accusation of betrayal and not betray your own soul. If you can be faithless and therefore trustworthy. I want to know if you can see beauty even when it is not pretty every day. And if you can source your own life from its presence. I want to know if you can live with failure, yours and mine, and still stand at the edge of the lake and shout to the silver of the full moon, yes. It doesn't interest me to know where you live or how much money you have. I want to know if you can get up after the night of grief and despair, weary and bruised to the bone, and do what needs to be done to feed the children. It doesn't interest me who you know or how you came to be here. I want to know if you will stand at the center of the fire with me and not shrink back. It doesn't interest me where or what or with whom you have studied. I want to know what sustains you from the inside when all else falls away. I want to know if you can be alone with yourself. And if you truly like the company you keep in the empty moments. Hear now the words of the Gospel of Mark, the 7th chapter, verses 24 through 37. Hear now the words of the gospel. From there he set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came home and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." And when she went home, she found the child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon toward the Sea of Galilee and the region of Decapolis. They brought him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephatha, that is, be opened. And his ears were opened, and his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one. But the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Dear Lord, come to me now. Untie my own tongue from the complicated words that name places, so that we can concentrate together on the beautiful words of love and acceptance and openness that you have placed before us today. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. With the word Alohomora and a swish and a flick of the wand, the people of the wizarding world of Harry Potter could unlock any door. Open Sesame gets its origin in the French translation of Ali Baba and the 40 Thieves. In the story, it is a magical phrase that opens a cave where the thieves have hidden their treasure. Wouldn't it be nice if it was that easy to get to the treasure? Or to get a door to unlock and let us into the heart of a room we're trying to enter? If only people were as easy to open up as well. We tend to build walls around ourselves and lock our doors in the name of protection of the heart that we are called to share. God is a little more forceful in his presence in getting to the precious things that lie within. Jesus was a lot more creative about how he opened people's eyes and ears. We see it all throughout Scripture, but particularly here in these two passages. God will go to any lengths to recover the heart of his Old Testament people. The people of Jericho were so afraid of their enemies that they had locked themselves away behind high walls. The Ark of the Covenant was usually very secure in the temple and hardly anyone ever saw it, but so fortified were the people of Jericho that God told Joshua and the priests to take the precious Ark out and march it around the city with trumpets and horns blaring. God was willing to risk the most precious earthly part of himself to knock down the walls of Jericho to free the people. That's some pretty extreme measure to go to. It shows how much God valued the people of Jericho, how he wanted them to be open to the message and the word of God. In the Mark text today, we see Jesus do some pretty crazy stuff for the deaf and speech impaired man. We know from the verses at the beginning of this passage that Jesus doesn't even have to be in the same room with the person to heal them. He tells the mother that her child is healed and she could go home to her. We know from the story of Matthew of the woman who was healed from bleeding for years that all she had to do was touch the hem of Jesus's robe to be healed. But here in these verses, where he heals this man, Jesus is intentional with his touch. Unlike the other healings, this moment is a very personal and private moment away from the crowds. All he had to do was say, "Be healed." But instead, he takes the man whose friends had brought him hoping for a miracle, and gives him dignity and privacy and one-on-one healing and attention. My inner child likes to call this the Wet Willies passage. But it was so much more than the act of putting his fingers in the man's ears and using his spit on his tongue. It was that touch and show of understanding that he needed to be seen as well as be healed. A kind of sign language for the deaf man, that he was indeed valuable and worthy of the healing he was receiving. Ephatha, Jesus prays. Be opened. That Aramaic word is only used once in Scripture. When we look at the grammar of the word, we see that it is an action verb. It is something that Jesus is asking God to do for the man and not commanding him to do it for himself. Sometimes we can be so closed off, so deaf to the needs of those around us, so silent or stuttering when people need us to speak up for them most, that God has to come and do the opening himself. Ephatha, he commands. He does not ask or tell or request. He does it for us. His Son does it for us. He opens our ears to hear and our tongues to speak plainly. God wants what is at the heart of who we are. He will go to extreme lengths and do the very personal things that show us his heart and break down our walls. He wants us to be in close relationship with him. We are the treasure hidden in a cave. We are the gift of speech and hearing that he longs for. He wants us to hear him and he wants us to be heard. He wants us to talk to him and to hear him speak to us. He wants us to tell others of his love. Be opened. He says for a reason, not just because he can do it, but because he wants to see every part of who we are. We cannot fully be in relationship with him or with each other if we are surrounded by walls. We cannot work together for the kingdom if we have ears that are closed and walls that are high. God will do what he needs to do to get our attention. He will do it publicly when we need our walls crumbled, or privately when we feel broken and are in need of healing. Through trumpets or private prayer, through shouts of joy or personal touch, a person called to be his vessel and proclaim his good news each week, it is a very personal message for me. Sundays, I may be his trumpet, but under these robes, I am just like the deaf and speech impaired man longing to be opened and healed. Ephatha, he prays for me. If you listen closely to the words of our reading today, you will hear those same longings articulated in a new way. I mean new if you count a poem written in 1954 as new. The things that are outwardly, that the world says give you value, are not what we should want in a deep and meaningful relationship like the one we have with God. We should not be defined by our age or our job or our astrology sign. God wants to know if we are going to be in the relationship with Him just as much as He is with us. He wants to meet our heart's longing. He wants us to love Him so much that we are willing to look foolish. When we are in pain, He wants to sit with us. He wants us to know that He will stand at the center of the fire with you and not shrink back. Those are the things that are important. He is willing to do it all for us. Are we willing to tear down our walls and do the same things for Him and for each other? Is God gently reminding you to take down your walls? What walls have you put up that need to be torn down? Have they been up for so long that the only way to let other people in is to have armies and trumpets and horns come and topple them? Life is never as easy as the swish and flick of the wrist and a simple aloha mora. I cannot simply walk up to someone and say, "Open sesame," and have them share the treasure of their heart with me. No matter how much I wish that was true, it takes a lot more than that. It takes a willingness to tear down our own walls and unlock our own doors before God sends the trumpets and the horns to do it for us. It takes us being truly willing to listen and stand in the fire together so Jesus doesn't feel the need to put His fingers in our ears and spit on us to make it happen for us. Our relationship with God depends on it. But more than that, our relationship with each other, relationships with each other do as well. Imagine the things that the people that witnessed the aftermath of the miracle that day thought about their own ability to speak and hear when they saw someone else's restored. One of my favorite lines in a song says this, "And if the walls of Jericho could crash on down for just a tune, I bet our walls could fall also, even if only me and you sing." Imagine what we could do together if we believed that God could topple any wall with a song, or if we were blessed to hear again after the proclamation and prayer of Ephatha. People would be astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." Amen. As we go throughout our week, let's make sure that we remain opened, that we pray that God and Jesus will open us even further to heal us and to use us to reach the heart of those around us. Because in life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.